I think in 30 years, this is my first pedology division attendance at this meeting. I'm to say I'm anxious or fearful is understatement. So what I wondered about with this is it useful for individual landowners who would be developing a vineyard? And so if there's so much variability down at the scale of a vineyard, it's fascinating for the pedologist and for all of us here, but will some tools come out of it? So we happened to be at that site the day they were planting. The first time we went, they were planting. And so these are really large vineyards. If you were the landowner there and you heard a talk about potassium fixation and it might or might not take a lot of potassium fertilizer, you know, you're looking at 75 hectares. There, the part in the, you know, including the part that's not being planted quite yet in the background, and a rolling landscape. This is in the region 4 that Randy and Toby were talking about. And this is just to remind you that the growers are applying or can apply the fertilizers through the drip system. And so they can do something about this. So here's my question. Within vineyards, and these are large, I'm interested in the large vineyards, so 10 hectares or maybe a little smaller than 10 hectares, up to a couple of hundred hectares, all managed by one person. Maybe even all the same variety and rootstock, although they will tend to vary rootstocks based on some rules. So the question is, within vineyards, how spatially variable is potassium fixation? And is the variability in potassium fixation related to soil texture or cation exchange capacity? And I should have said, or easily determined soil and landscape properties, field indicators, if you will. So soil potassium fixation mapping could be useful in selecting rootstocks or scion varieties. It could be useful in assessing the need for very high initial potassium fertilizer rates or continuing high potassium fertilizer rates after establishment. It could be used to delineate nutrient management zones. You can design the drip irrigation system so that blocks of the irrigation are independent of each other. So this is how the potassium fertilizer is put on in much of Central California, is through that drip system. There aren't very many growers now broadcasting it or banding it on the surface with a machine. They're putting it through the drip system. It could be used to identify plant or soil sampling zones, and there is a good deal of petiole sampling in the district, quite a bit, more than any other crop I've ever worked with. I was astounded when I started working with grapes. So I'm going to zip through this because you've heard most of it, but I want to point out to answer my question requires a kind of study that we haven't done. Because I regard all this sampling as mini pits and auger holes. It's like a reconnaissance survey, because it's to look at this regional model and to verify that the regional model has something to it. It's not, we cannot with this sparse data set, most of the vineyards actually only have a couple of pits, but some of them have more. We can't determine spatial autocorrelation or spatial dependence within a vineyard at that scale. The sampling design wasn't with that in mind. So I'm going to just be giving some simple descriptive statistics, kind of a taste of what we might be looking at. Went to varying depths and varying positions. We didn't do grid sampling in most of the vineyards. We did exclude vineyards that had a history of high rates of potassium fertilization or where they were broadcasting potassium fertilizer on the ground. And I think this has already been covered. I want to mention something about the potassium fixation test that Masha Muresh kind of developed in our lab. She used some earlier work done by Ken Kassman and others and modified this to make it a one-hour test. And so Randy and I think Toby already mentioned you can get a negative value with this. So what I've done here is plot potassium fixation potential on the x-axis against exchangeable ammonium acetate extractable potassium on the y-axis. So when you have very high exchangeable K levels and you put the sample into that solution of potassium, the sample gives off potassium. So you get an increase in potassium concentration, not a decrease. And so the way we calculate it, that's a negative K fixation, which is kind of a weird idea. But you can see on the right-hand side of the y-axis the K-fixing, the positive K-fixing samples, and you can see that some number of, a small number, but still a significant number of samples fix substantial amounts of K, up to 200 parts per million, even when the exchangeable K levels were above a typical deficiency number, of which I put here as 80 parts per million. This is just a summary. It repeats some of the information you've already seen. I picked out five vineyards where we had multiple sample sites that made it possible for me to see how much variation there is in those. And you can see the region designations on the right-hand side and the taxonomy. And so I'm going to walk through these five. Again, you've seen some of this already. The first thing I want to point out is, okay, now I'm getting used to using the cursor here. So for example, the site number five is in region five. We actually have some potassium fixation at all of these sites. If you average the pits and auger holes at each of the vineyards, there's none with zero. But this region five is the volcanic parent material, and there's very little K fixation above a depth of 30 centimeters. Some of these 13 auger holes, I think two had fixation above 50, above a half a meter, and still about half the sites had fixation when you went down to a meter depth. And compare that to this region two site number two, where we had eight sampling points in a large vineyard, and all of the samples basically fixed potassium. And so here's site number one. This is a in region two. It's flat as a pancake, and it's I didn't get into the 2A, 2B until recently. This would be the non-K fixing site two. Is that 2B? 2B. Okay. This is at about 5 meters above sea level in the western part of the district. And so basically, here's two points out of the five that we sampled there, and you can see not much K fixation on a compost soil on the left until you get down to a meter deep, but on the other hand, on the Tokay soil, you do have some K fixation above a meter, and then as you get down deeper, quite a bit of K fixation. I'm going to show the same axis on all of these graphs, basically, same scale. So in site one, two profiles mapped as Tokay, fixed potassium, everything below about 30 centimeters. The three other profiles mapped as a campo fixed K, but not until you got down to a meter deep. But the difference across these five sites didn't seem to be related to soil texture or to cation exchange capacity. Okay, in region, site number two is now region 2B, Toby. So it's also flat as a pancake. Kasumnes River is there on the right, and one of its tributaries on the left. There's a huge area of grapes in here, about 1,000 acres, which you can see about half of that here. All on similar soils, so that is, soils have been mapped similarly. It fixes a lot of K. All these soils fix K. Here's two of the eight profiles. One's a Columbia silt loam, and it shows potassium fixation all the way down on the sailboat similarly, but there is a little bit of variation in the amount. And again here, all profiles fix K below 30 centimeters. We didn't see that soil texture variation, which does vary, or cation exchange capacity matches up with the variation in K fixation. Third site is in what they call region one. It's also very low elevation, pretty flat. Terrace, basin, and floodplain, but it's fine textured. As Randy said, not a lot of grapes on this, but there are some near Stockton. And Got nine holes, here's four of them. And here you see kind of a mixture of results. We have K fixation, not very much K fixation, but you have two of the Vertisol, or one of the Vertisol profiles on the right shows some K fixation, and the other is not very much. And three of the nine profiles don't fix potassium above 90 centimeters. The differences don't seem to be related to soil texture or to those two map units, the Hollenbeck and Archerdale soil. Region four, or I keep saying region, site number four happens to be in region four, and that's that one that Randy showed with the transect of 13 points. I think there's, 13 points in the whole thing. Granitic parent material in this case, but it's a mess, as Randy pointed out. We're not sure what we should see here. So I'm going to just show you a few of those profiles. There's one, not much K fixation there, a little bit down below a meter. And there's a second one, that's C right there. So there's quite a bit of K fixation once you get down below a half a meter deep. And there is G over here on a different map unit. That fixes potassium all the way close to the surface. And here's M over here on the same map unit as the C, and it doesn't fix very much potassium at all. These two, M and M, fix less, the two lowest K fixing profiles on the whole. And the whole property. And lastly, there's this one up here, P, and the yellow lark, it's in the low slough, kind of a slough area on that property, and it fixes a little bit of potassium, but not till you get down below 60 centimeters. In summary there, out of the 17 profiles, 11 of them do fix some potassium above a depth of 50 centimeters. I don't know how that fits. You know, you're getting to see the science like a cake being baked rather than one that's already made. We're baking it right here. And again, I didn't see, we need to talk about this more, Randy. I didn't see differences using profile-weighted potassium fixation. That's a key point. I don't see relationships related to soil texture or to the map units out there or to the elevation, which we have elevation readings, or to the landscape position. I'm not sure about the landscape position, and I saw you had a slide about that, back slope. Lastly, site number five is in region five, dissected volcanic uplands, and I didn't design the sampling pattern there. As far as it's impossible to figure out how spatially related these samples are to each other, but non-K fixing, but a little bit of K fixation. Those two N9 on the uphill is down at the bottom of the slide, and down in the flat is, except for this hill in the middle, is in the top end of the slide, and so there's a little bit of K fixation in the lower elevation flat sites. And we are reanalyzing. There's some problem. We don't have the texture data for this. Three of the 13 profiles fix potassium at or above a meter, a half meter. A little more K fixation occurs in the lowest, more level positions, and we haven't finished particle size. I'm going to skip this point. It was about basically saying that we found on a different project, we found that K exchangeable K and K fixation was not affected by potassium fertilizer that had been dripped out of the drippers on the irrigation system. This just shows that if you just do a scattergram at these four of these five sites where I had the texture data, you see a weak correlation on three of them between K fixation and percent clay. But then when you look at it, it's because you have more K fixation deeper in the depth, you also have a little more clay. A deeper layer. So it's really not telling any, there's no cause and effect here. It's just a kind of a chance correlation. Here are average profile K fixation potentials at each of those five sites in the five vineyards. These are based on depth weighted with the top 0 to 20 or 0 to 30 centimeter layer excluded. And I wanted to show this because I've calculated, I wasn't sure how to calculate depth weighted with where you have negative K fixations. So here I said if there's a negative K fixation, set it to zero, because I don't think negative K fixation means anything. But then I thought, well, that's a place where there's lots of exchangeable potassium, so what if you use the actual value? And you do get a difference, like in region 5, where you have all those high negative values, though you don't have any K fixation, the median value for K fixation actually is below zero. But if you set the negatives to zero, it's slightly above zero. So you can see differences amongst the vineyards, but you also have it, especially at this site, pretty big, pretty wide range variation. So I thought about not putting this in. I calculated the coefficient of variation, and again, you can't do this if you don't know what the spatial dependence of the data is, which we don't. It's a very sparse data set. If you spaced out these samples differently, you would get entirely different numbers. But just when I did this, I saw the K fixation potential at 2 of these 4 vineyards was much higher than the coefficient of variation for CEC or exchangeable K. Okay. K fixation was weakly correlated with clay content in individual depth samples in the three of the 4 vineyards where we had the texture data, but soil texture does not appear to be useful for mapping the mean profile K fixation in vineyards. K fixation capacity, again, the profile means, was much more spatially variable than cation exchange capacity or extractable K in 2 of the 4 vineyards. And then I want to have one more slide, Tom, after this. Research is needed to determine the importance of subsurface K fixation for K uptake. And sort of the thought behind all this is it means something to the grapes, and I don't think we know that. Especially where they're growing under drip irrigation in the Mediterranean climate. So how should we characterize profile K fixation? If you have K fixation, should you add up that K fixation through the whole root zone? Is that like a big empty bucket that represents a fertilizer deficit? So if you have high available potassium in one part of the root zone, does that compensate for K fixation in another? And in calculating the average, how does one weight the depth increments? I've seen that done for salinity with less weight given to the lower depths. I just added it all up here. I know grapes are deep rooted, but I still say that question remains unanswered. Finally, where is the grape root zone? With surface drip irrigation, does potassium fixation in these deeper layers matter at all? I think that's an open question. There's published studies on grape root distribution. It's an old topic, but maybe under this drip irrigation and in the conditions in the Lodi wine grape district, it's not as many published studies under that type of situation. Thank you.
One question, please.